This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, there it is. I didn't have us on the radio, but now we are. Hello, salute everybody. Good morning. A happy Tuesday to you. Whether you're listening on ESPN 1320 AM, the free Odyssey app, or maybe you're tapping in with us in on YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Good morning to the Chatty House gang's all here. And the Sacramento Kings, naturally, after our show, made a trade yesterday.
Of course they did.
We'll continue to dig into this for sure, but I am beseeching the Sacramento Kings. I know Monty McNair listens to the show very closely. Good morning, Monty. I would really appreciate it if the Kings would do something during our show one time. Just one time.
Just one time.
Even this time. It's not going to be a massive seismic trade.
No.
But whatever's coming down the pike, I would like to happen during our show, please. And maybe with a full segment left that we can really dig into it, not with 4 minutes left.
Okay, well, if we do that, then I can't whiteboard, because it'll have to be on the fly.
That's fine. You can whiteboard the next day. Want instant reactions to something.
I'm with you.
I'm sitting here yesterday, and I'm doing my post-show work. We're in D'Lo and Casey, and Coach JT was in here. Salute to Coach JT. Always does a great job. And somehow Jalen McDaniels came up, and as he's talking about Jalen McDaniels, Shams Charania of ESPN, weird, reports that Jalen McDaniels and a second-round pick have been traded to the San Antonio Spurs.
Yep.
The question immediately became, well, for what? What are they getting back from the Spurs? Is Jalen McDaniels an aspiring contract and a pick? Well, they must be. Be getting something back. What is it? They didn't get anything back, James.
No, I mean, this is your classic find a team with cap space.
Yep.
Find a team that's under the luxury tax that can take on a contract and give them something to take on a contract. And it gets a little complicated. Like, we like to dive into the numbers here just because the salary cap is one of my specialties that I've, you know, as a writer, have kind of followed for the last, I don't know, 15
years.
Yeah,
you dive deep into the salary cap machinations, for sure.
Yeah, I do. And so look, it's complicated, right? The Sacramento Kings walked into yesterday like roughly $1 million under the NBA's luxury tax, right? Mm-hmm. So I actually have created a whiteboard today.
Yeah, if you're watching, you get to follow along.
So if you're watching, you do get to follow along. Okay.
If you're listening, picture a whiteboard with all of this written down on it.
Yes.
Miniature whiteboard, like an 8x10.
Okay, so the NBA has the standard salary cap, which is $140.6 million.
It's probably like 10x12.
Right. Then they have the luxury tax, which is up higher. It's $170.8 million, right? And so what you want to do is you want to stay below the luxury tax unless you got a good team, because if you hit the luxury tax, then you become a taxpayer, not a tax recipient. So all the taxpayers, the money goes into like a big account, And then all the non-taxpayers get a split of that. So the Kings have been they've never been a luxury tax team. They've come very close, but they've never been a luxury tax team. Then above the luxury tax, we have what's called the first apron, which is at 178.1, and then the second apron at 188.9. Now, when the Kings made the DeMar DeRozan trade, it was a sign-and-trade. And when you sign-and-trade, that means that you get hard-capped, and you get hard-capped at the first apron. So the Kings, under no circumstance this season, can go above $178.1 million.
Right, they're hard-capped.
Yeah.
That's not a King's choice. It is an NBA rule that because they signed and traded,
yes,
they are like NFL-style hard-capped.
Yeah, you're absolutely hard-capped. You cannot do anything more, right? So what the Kings have done here is they traded Jalen McDaniels $4.7 million. And this dropped them down to 164.9, and that's with Orlando Robinson and without Boogie Ellis's contract. So they're currently $5.9 million under the tax, but it also puts them $13.2 under the first apron. So, again, you can't do anything with the first apron, right? You can't go above the first apron.
Right, you're stuck there no matter what you do.
Which is $178.1 million. But what the Kings just did is by trading Jalen McDaniels $4.7 million, they dropped $5.9 million under the cap, under the luxury tax, and $13.2 million around $13.2 under the actual NBA first apron. So now what they can do, if they so choose, is they've got options. They can sign a free agent, which there aren't a lot of free agents that are out there, and they still have their mid-level exception. So they can sign a free agent for up to $13 million and go all the way up to the hard cap. Got me?
Yes.
They can also trade for a player that makes 13 point whatever million and below. The mid-level exception is right at just about $13 million. So they can absorb a contract that is $13 million or less and 4 years or less, as long as it fits into the parameters of the mid-level exception. So they could do that. But now if they do that, they would be a tax team. They also, because now they're underneath the tax, they have like $5.9 million. So they could do a deal where they trade, let's say, a $17 million player and a $2 million player. So that puts you at 19 for a $24 million player. And you have that $5 million that you're taking back that's more. You can do that deal and still be under the luxury tax. So, like, there's a lot of things they can do.
So, how much room do they have now? How much, if they maxed out, if they got a player that's the maximum amount they can get, what's that number?
Well, it's complicated. It depends on if you're trading a player with that or if you're just absorbing a player into the mid-level.
If you're just absorbing a player into the mid-level.
The most ticket is right around $13 million. They can take on a full mid-level exception
at
this point.
Okay.
Player.
Got it.
And go all the way up to the cap.
And that is where they're hard capped at the first apron.
Yeah, at the first apron.
If they don't want to be a tax team.
Yep.
How much room do they have?
They got a little less than $6 million.
Got it.
So they've got 5.9, 5.8 million right around there.
Got it.
So okay. So they can play in that area. They can go out and try to sign, like we talked about, I talked about this with D'Lo and KC. So let's say they go out and say, we're going to sign Jay Crowder. He seemed to be the name that everyone was buzzing
about.
That's
literally the name I was about to throw out.
Okay. Perfect. So let's say you go out and you sign Jay Crowder.
Okay.
The Kings have the biannual exception, so they could actually pay him up to like 4 point something million, which would fit into that. But okay, let's say they want to give him the league minimum, which that's probably what Jay Crowder's signing for at this point. The league minimum for him is going to be around 3.3 or 3.4 million. But because he's a veteran, the league only counts 2.1 million against the cap.
Right. They treat him like a second year.
They treat him like a second year player.
Right.
Exactly. So Alex Len right now makes 3.3 million, but the Kings only pay 2.1 million for him.
Against the cap.
Against the cap.
Right.
They still pay the other money.
Right.
Right. So basically you could go out and sign two of those players, because you would still stay under the luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
Or, again, you can go out and sign a much higher paid player. You could trade for a much higher paid player and take back more salary because you now have room. Are you with me? So there's a lot of ways in which they can use this cap space.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's really interesting that they did this today. Like, because in the grand scheme of things, finding a team that would take on a player like Jalen McDaniels and for a second round pick, and mm-hmm. the Kings gave cash.
I also misspoke earlier. They did get a top 55 protected second round pick.
Yes.
Thank you to the people in the chat who corrected me.
They did. They got a top 55 protected pick. So
we'll be watching the Spurs closely this year to see where they land in the second round.
Yeah. So if they have a pick that's number 56, 57, 58, 59, or 60, it goes to the Kings. If not,
fingers crossed.
The Kings don't get anything for the deal. But that's one of those things where I think you have to, the mechanisms of the NBA, you have to actually give something. And sometimes what you would do is you would give the rights to like a guy who's in Europe who's never going to play.
Sure.
Right. So mm-hmm. that you have to give something up in a trade. So look, the big question, Kyle, is number one, was Jalen McDaniels just not part of the plan? Which clearly he becomes not part of the plan.
Right.
I mean, you did give up things to get him.
Right. And that's where so that's where the initial reaction to this,
mm-hmm.
at least my initial reaction was, so the Kings have now traded Davion Mitchell, Sasha Vezenkov, 2 second-round picks
mm-hmm.
to get a top 55 protected second-round pick.
And like $5.8 million in, or $5.8
I'm sorry, they also traded Jalen McDaniels.
Yeah, so basically in the combination of the deals, they saved, what was Sasha Vezenkov, like $6.5
million. Over six.
And then he got bought out, right?
Right.
Well, he didn't even get bought out. He just like decided.
He bounced.
He
took $0 and left.
Yeah, exactly, which is crazy. I don't know if that would have happened in Sacramento or not.
Sure.
But then also Davion Mitchell, I think, was on the books for $5.2 million or something. Mm-hmm. So you saved roughly $12 million in salary cap mm-hmm. space in all this maneuvering. But what are you going to do with that cap space? I mean, part of that went to DeMar DeRozan.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to look at it as that was a function of what happened during this offseason. But I think the timing of this trade is strange.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd also, the need to go out and trade McDaniels now is kind of strange, because you have a week here where rosters don't have to be set until next Thursday when you start the regular season, right? So up until that point, you're allowed to carry up to 21 players.
Mm-hmm.
So I know people are like, oh, they're trying to clear a roster spot. Well, as of right now, they could have just waived Broderick Thomas or Terry Taylor or Scalabissiere and cleared up 3 roster spots if they had some big trade,
mm-hmm.
right? They also have other players that they could just waive and go away from. So the roster spot issue isn't a thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Next Thursday, if they would have kept everybody, including Orlando Robinson, who's hurt and who's on a $500,000 guarantee, and Boogie Ellis, who's an Exhibit 10, mm-hmm. they would have 15 roster spots taken, plus your 3 two-ways. Now that you don't have Jalen, now you're down to 14. But again, Boogie Ellis is on a non-guaranteed Exhibit 10 contract. You could easily just waive him and not have to pay him. I mean, it's barely anything you're paying him, right?
Right.
So the why did the Kings do this today, especially when you had to give up an asset to do this trade?
Right.
That's the puzzling thing, because realistically, Jalen McDaniel's $4.7 million contract fits into a lot of trades. So if you were going to get, you know, a month from now or in February, right before the deadline, and you had, you know, again, $8 million for Trey Lyles or $17 million for Kevin Huerter. If you were to take those contracts, add in Jalen McDaniels' contract, mm-hmm. now you have a larger contract that you can, a larger amount of money that you're playing with, right? So, like, it's kind of strange, but at the same time, it does lend itself to make you wonder if they have something else up their sleeve. And if that something else, the other team may not want Jalen McDaniels' contract.
Sure. Is there any chance or I concern that this was just like a cost-saving move?
Well, like, of course. I mean, you can always think just, that. I mean, I know like we deal with Rory in the chat all the time who mm-hmm. likes to fight this battle that the Vivek is like the cheapest owner there ever mm-hmm. was, which I don't like prescribe to. Like, I mean, there's not been a way in which I think the Kings could have taken on a bunch more salary.
Yeah, I think we're going to learn here in the next couple of years for sure. But there's no evidence for me to say definitively one way or the other.
Exactly. So, I think it's, you could say it's a cost-cutting move, but you have to understand the Kings sent out money in this deal. And they probably sent out, they're able to give up a maximum during once of $3 million. So they probably gave the Spurs $2 or $3 million to do this deal. And the Spurs turn around and they're waiving Jalen McDaniels.
Right.
Yeah, McDaniels is going to be a free agent like this week. Mm. And so people know the Kings cannot go back and they can't sign Jalen McDaniels. I think it's 6 months. There's a window. They can't sign him. Once you trade a player and he's waived, you're not allowed to sign him and bring him back. It's a Zydrunas Ilgauskas rule, basically.
Yeah.
Because the Cavs did this and then signed him right back after he was waived somewhere else to less money but save money. The other question I've got yesterday, which I'll make sure that we clear up.
Please.
People are like, why would the Kings not just waive Jalen McDaniels themselves? Why did they give up some cash and a second-round pick? And the answer is because if you waive a player, his salary still counts towards your cap. And so by trading him to another team, the salary now counts for the Spurs cap. They're waiving him. They'll absorbing
eat the 4 point whatever million.
Exactly, on their salary cap space. So basically, you paid a second-round pick to clear Jalen McDaniels $4.7 million off your books.
So the Kings were the ones that facilitated this. This wasn't, because I initially thought, oh, maybe the Spurs just really like Jalen McDaniels or whatever.
Yeah.
But if they're waiving him immediately, that means the Kings were just calling teams with cap space and going, hey, will you take this? Because, which is why you think that there's got to be another move in the chamber.
Well,
they wouldn't just do this randomly.
Okay, so there's two things there. They could, they are the ones who like reached out clearly, like in this deal. This is, but what you do if you're a team like the Kings, and you're looking at your salary and you want to make some adjustments, you look around the league. Who has cap space? What is it going to cost me to trade this player? The Kings and Spurs just did a deal, so they already have this relationship that they're working on because, remember, Harrison Barnes was traded there during the offseason as part of the three-team deal with the Bulls and to get DeMar DeRozan in Sacramento.
Right.
So you already have some working relationship. You may have even had a conversation about this. And the Kings had to wait 60 days to do anything with Jalen. Well, not they could have traded him, but only as a separate player by himself, which is what they ended up doing. So, Kyle, you're right. There could be a reason why they did it today that they have another deal lined up and this thing is just going to play out very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a possibility that they looked at the Spurs. They looked at Jalen McDaniels. They said, Jalen McDaniels is not going to play for us. We would prefer to go with the young guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spurs have money today, but they might not have money a month from now. They might have money two months from now.
Right.
That well might dry up because some other team could look at the Spurs and say, hey, look, Minnesota is still like the first apron and they want to get lower. Whoever it might be might want to drop their salary. So the Kings jumped on it now because it's like, okay, let's take care of it now. And not only that, let's give Jalen McDaniels a week to go find a new team before the season starts.
Sure.
As opposed to just leaving him high and dry the last day before the season starts.
So that means there doesn't necessarily have to be something coming down.
There doesn't necessarily have to.
Because I'm on pins and needles for whatever's coming next.
Yeah, and I think that's what fans should be looking at because there's usually a reason why you do something like this. And again, if you were going to trade Jalen McDaniels, there is potential for you to trade him along with other players down the road without having to give up that second round pick. Or maybe you do still have to give up second round pick or you've got to give up you go trade for some bigger player and you have to give up a first or two firsts, whatever it might be. But in those deals, you kind of need Jalen McDaniels' salary matching. And so in this transaction, the Kings did pick up a $4.7 million trade exception.
Mm-hmm.
So now they've got that to play with as well, which gives them, they have a lot of exceptions to work with now.
Okay. So
they've got trade exceptions from the Vezenkov. I think they got a full $6.5 million trade exception from that.
Mm-hmm.
They've got, a small one from the Davion trade because every NBA trade is not what it looks like. It's not like a straight player for player or one player for four players. There are many deals within a giant deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're a lot more complex when you actually dissect how they're built.
Sure. So where does this leave the Kings roster-wise? They had 21 players.
Mm-hmm.
They shipped one out. Yep. My math, quick math, that means they have 20 now.
Yep.
Don't need a whiteboard for that. Do you expect them to fill that spot, or is this a, there's 2 days of preseason games left and they'll roll with 20?
Well, no, I do think that there's a possibility that they might sign guys and waive them. So that's a process.
Wait, why?
That's a process where if you're gonna have a G League player, right? So the Kings just, this perfect right here. The Kings just traded for Drew Timmy, right? But the Stockton Kings traded, right?
Yeah.
For his G League rights. They traded Jordan Ford and Deontay Burton and a 2025 second round pick for
just
Drew Timmy.
Clown show move.
Yeah. For me, I think Drew Timmy's a perfect fit to run your G League team, right?
Yes.
He's like a little mini Domantas Sabonis. When you make that move, now Drew Timmy is your property in the NBA world. But what you can do as a parent club, you can sign Drew Timmy, give him like a $200,000 signing bonus, and then waive him immediately. But the signing bonus will come with a little asterisk that says, if you spend 60 days in the G League with our G League affiliate, because now you have his rights, you can sign him, waive him, give him a signing bonus for the parent club, and now he won't make the 90 or 100,000 as a G League player. He'll make that and an additional 200 grand to be part of your G League system. Maybe it's 50,000. Maybe it's $125,000.
Just basically a solid, giving him some extra cash.
Yeah, you're giving him some extra cash because...
And that doesn't affect your salary capital.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to count, but it's little tiny dollars here and there.
Yeah.
So
okay.
As opposed to being, you know, $5.9 million under the cap, you might be $5.7 million under the cap type deal.
Okay. So they have to cut two players now.
Yeah, they'll cut... I guarantee they'll cut a minimum of two players at this point, and they could cut more. I mean, they can start the season with 14.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that there's some area that they're trying to figure out, like two-way player versus, you know, keeping Boogie Ellis on the main roster or trying to clear one of their two-way spots. So maybe promoting a guy like Mason Jones to the main roster, giving him a standard NBA contract, moving Boogie Ellis from his Exhibit 10 to a two-way contract, and then he's making 500, I think it's 550 for a two-way player.
Yeah.
Maybe it's up to 600,000. It's right around. It's
going to make more money.
Yeah, it's half of a league minimum salary.
Okay.
It's very complicated, good. Kyle. It's complicated.
Sure is. Whatever the Kings do next, I hope it happens during our show. That would be so nice.
I totally agree. I hope that's what happens. They do something now and we get to see it and like confirm it. And then, oh my gosh, this is happening and we get to talk about it.
That'd be great. The Kings weren't the only ones getting active in the trade market, though. The Las Vegas Raiders this morning traded wide receiver Davante Adams to the Jets. Apparently, this deal has been in the works. It was not a response to the Jets' Monday Night Football loss. According to Adam Schefter, the Raiders are getting a third-round pick that can become a second-round pick. From my understanding, for that to convey to a second-round pick, Adams would need to be an all-pro and receive and be on the active roster for the AFC Championship.
Oh.
So he's already missed however many games, what, 3 games already?
Something like that.
It's going to be tough for him to be an all pro. And it might be tough for the Jets to make the AFC title game because they looked about the same last night.
Yeah, they're not very good.
Turns out Robert Saleh wasn't the problem. Who'd have thunk?
Yeah, I also think the Bills weren't like tremendously great either. Like the Bills left something to be decided. And I know they didn't have James Cook. And they were already, because of their summer purge, they're already down to like, you know, guys that you're trying to bring up as wide receivers, you know, sort of what the Chiefs did last year. But losing Cook is pretty substantial for them with the turf toe.
Yeah. So I want to get to them in a second. But I think this is I'm happy the Raiders did this, and I'm happy the Raiders recognized this. And did what they had to do to, they're not eating any of his salary. The Jets are taking on all of his salary. And I'm glad the Raiders didn't just hang on to Davante Adams because they wanted a surefire second-round pick for him. Either a second-round pick or we're not giving him up. Like, this is a player that was not going to be part of your program for much longer.
Yeah.
Just cut your losses now. You take a conditional third-round pick. And you call it good.
Yeah, this is one of those like hindsight 2020 moves, right? You should have traded him this offseason. You should have traded him on draft day. Like we keep saying this with the Raiders, you should have. Maybe you would have been able to go up and get a quarterback using Devontae Adams as a trade chip.
But I also think the Raiders were thinking they could contend this year.
Okay.
Like they went out, they have Max Crosby, they had Malcolm Kuntz, they go out and they sign Christian Wilkins. They look like a team that, hey, if you get a couple of these things to kind of go right, but they had to get rid of Devontae.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I wouldn't be surprised if this is the first of a couple of moves. I don't think they're trading Max Crosby. I've already seen that floated a lot. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden the Raiders are now having a fire sale and any good player they have is going to be available. Max Crosby is young. His contract is not crazy expensive. He is a cornerstone of your defense for the next like 8 to 10 years. Trading him for anything less than if some team calls and says, yeah, we'll give you 4 first-round picks for Max Crosby, then okay, maybe you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you would do it at that point.
Yeah, you would.
But no team is going to do that. I'm sure the teams are going to call. I'm sure the Lions have called. Said, we'll give you a 2nd-round pick for him.
Yeah.
We'll give you a 1st-round pick and I forget, they have an edge rusher who has been disappointing for them. We'll give you James Houston, I think. Yeah, we'll give you James Houston and a second. Hey, no, you're not just going to give away Max Crosby.
No, but
that's a defensive player of the year candidate.
Yeah, I mean, where would you at though? Like, I know Christian Wilkins is on the injured reserve right now,
but
he's a guy that you would kind of circle, right, and say, maybe.
I don't know what his contract looks like.
Okay.
But maybe in the offseason.
Yeah, it's just so tough. NFL contracts are so weird.
Man, he's making a ton of money.
Yeah.
So I think it was the right move to move on from Devontae Adams. If teams want to call about other players, teams say, yeah, hey, Robert Spillane looks great. We need a linebacker. What do you take for him? Yeah, see if you can fleece the team. But this just all goes back to what we talked about yesterday with them. Everything for Vegas this year now is about next year and the year after that.
Well, this is a problem that I have with them, though. You're always hoping that that's what they believe, too. But then last year, you know, again, they had the 4th pick in the draft, and then they kept winning, and they ended up with, what, the 13th pick.
Well, yeah, you're not, but that's...
I get it. You're battling vibes and building something versus... Well,
your players aren't going to quit.
Yeah.
That's kind of... And it makes sense. Like, Antonio Pierce came in and... Man, okay, the culture was changing, and they go in and they beat the Chiefs in Kansas City on Christmas, and you're going, okay, hey, this team is close. Let's get Christian Wilkins in here. Yeah, hey, Gardner Minshew, he can steer the ship because it's Jacoby Myers and Devontae Adams. They have Brock Bowers, and you could kind of see them talking themselves into it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the right move, right thing to do for the Raiders and Devontae Adams. They send him to the New York Jets. I don't think Devontae Adams is going to fix the Jets.
No. I mean, he might help them, but I don't think he's going to fix them.
Yeah, I think there's a deeper issue there. And maybe he has such a great rapport with Aaron Rodgers and their offense suddenly starts cooking. I just don't... I've not seen anything from the Jets this year, including last night, that made me go, they're a receiver away. They're one wide receiver away.
Yeah.
It'll help, for sure. But I don't think they're going to become this juggernaut that everybody thought they were going to be.
No, I totally agree with you.
Woody Johnson, their owner, today told reporters in a room with air in it that thinking is overrated.
Yeah. Well, that's the world we live in right now, Kyle.
Boy, is it.
Right. The Niners, before we go, they did sign Anders Carlson to the practice squad.
A kicker.
We might have a kicker competition.
Yeah.
In case the other kid can't go this next weekend.
Yeah, God. We'll talk about the 49ers a little bit. We'll talk some about Monday Night Football. The Kings play a preseason game tonight against the Utah Jazz. We'll dive into that as well. We'll have some other NBA news and notes for you. On the Insiders, we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you till noon on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
One of the best rivalries in sports right now is me against my headphone cord.
Oh, no.
Just four times a show, me and this thing are boxing. It's ridiculous.
It's not good.
Figure it out. That's James. I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program. Talked about the Kings. Trade of Jalen McDaniels. If you got something to say about that, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Salute to Elk Grove Kia. If you have strong Jalen McDaniels thoughts, or if you have thoughts about what the Kings should do with their newfound cap space, let us know. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. You can also participate in the show at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. I love hanging out with the chatty house. You can do that as well. Hey. There's somebody on the Elk Grove Kia talk line.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's going on?
It's Kyle Hammer. What's going on, TC?
TC, what's up, man?
What's up, bro? Hey, listen, so a little bit about the Niners, well, not too much about the Niners. I'll call in later and talk to the homies about that.
No doubt.
As far as the Kings, Monty's opening it up. The trade, he's opening it up to be flexible. It's back to what he's always been saying from day one, of being flexible. And when it's time to strike for a big fish, like he struck for DeRozan, bro. So this is opening it up, in my opinion, to open it up for another move. I heard you earlier, Ham, yesterday when you were saying that, bro. And every time we talk about that, bro, it happens. Monty is always thinking ahead, bro, so I'm with it. So
perfect. Thanks, TC. Appreciate the call, man.
Yeah, I mean...
TC, in on Monty McNair, out on Kyle Shanahan. Got it.
I think it's interesting to get, like, look, Monty does always think a few steps ahead, but that doesn't mean that anything is going to happen. Like, I know, like, my partner in crime on the Kings beat, Sean Cunningham, said this is like this deal was in the works and there's another deal.
Mm.
It will likely, there will be another deal. But we don't know what that is, like whether that's signing again a league minimum guy right now or whatever. Like there's all kinds of things that could happen here at this point. I'm just not convinced that it's that there's something imminent. Like I wish there was, and I wish it was something that would happen and like at 11:12, and so we can,
that'd be great,
roll with it for the last 48 minutes of the show.
Yeah, sometime in the next like 35 minutes would be awesome.
Yeah, exactly. But I also know that Monty McNair is about as methodical a general manager as you're going to find.
Sometimes frustratingly so.
Yes, yeah. So, I mean, for every time that we thought that a trade was imminent before the trade deadline, and then you end up with, a couple of small trades or, you know, like Robin Lopez for the
sure.
second time.
Kings legend.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a jersey I'll get.
Just
a Robin Lopez Kings jersey?
Yeah. No, that's classic. That'd be a classic one.
That would go double platinum at Coachella 2028.
It's twice he's been traded to the Kings.
Cool. Get two jerseys then. Today, 4 p.m., ALCS Game 2 between the Guardians and the Yankees. is right here on ESPN 1320. We'll talk a little baseball a little bit later on. TC said he's going to call in later to D'Lo and KC to talk about the Niners. We're going to talk about the Niners right now. Just a quick note from yesterday. The 49ers opened Ricky Pearsall's practice window. That is good news for a couple of reasons. One, it means Ricky Pearsall's all good after being shot through the chest during an attempted robbery the weekend before the season began. So they opened his practice window. So he gets 21 days to practice.
Okay.
Before, not 21 practices, 21 days. So 3 Mondays from now, the 49ers will have to make a decision on whether to activate him or keep him on IR for the rest of the year. Or he would revert to IR because he's on the non-football injury list right now. He would go to IR. It's kind of interesting, the timing, because I was kind of wondering, because the 21st day is the Monday after their bye week. So the 21st day will be November 4th. Their bye week is November 3rd. That's the Sunday they don't play.
Okay.
So I initially thought that they were wasting a week because they would be off for the bye the week before. So days, whatever that would be, 16 through 21, they're off, basically. But they got a bonus practice in yesterday that he was there for, he was in attendance for. And then they might practice once or twice during the bye. So he basically gets the same amount of practice as he would have gotten, and then they can make a decision that Monday after the bye week. So it's just good news that he's back in practice and out running around and doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think that this means he's going to contribute this year, because he's already missed so much time. He missed the first part of training camp with a hamstring injury.
Mm-hmm.
Returned to practice from that and immediately suffered a shoulder injury that had him out of preseason games and out of practice for a while. And then when he did return to practice, he was in a non-contact jersey. And then he suffers a gunshot wound and goes on the NFI casual list, which is just insane.
Absolutely.
Like, do you know how bonkers I feel as a person writing about, I did an updated where the 49ers, they have 11 players on injured lists right now. That's the PUP list, the IR, and the NFI, the non-football injury list.
Mm-hmm.
And PUP is physically unable to perform. Difference there is non-football injury is something that happened away from the facility. So if you get shot during an attempted robbery, if you're training during the offseason at home and you strain your back,
got it,
you would go on the NFI list. Physically unable to perform is where, like, Drake Jackson and Dre Greenlaw are, because those are injuries that happened in the course of football, but, like, from the previous year.
Yeah.
Drake Jackson tore his patellar tendon last year, and Dre Greenlaw, of course, tore his Achilles in the Super Bowl. So they go on the physically unable to perform list. They act basically the same. They're just called something different. And then there's injured reserve, which everybody knows what IR is. So I was doing an update yesterday on the players on those injured lists and whether they can come back this season, whether they're eligible to come back, when they're eligible to come back, all that stuff, just kind of trying to get it all in one place. And Christian McCaffrey has been dealing with Achilles tendonitis. Drake Jackson tore his patellar tendon. Javon Hargrave tore his triceps.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Pearsall was shot in the chest. It sounds insane.
Yeah, that's wild.
Because you just have to write it like it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say this insane thing that happened to him. Like, you just have to go, yeah, this, here's the thing that happened. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills when I do that.
You know what's crazy is that he's not the first NFL player this has happened to.
Yeah, not even, like, it recently it happened.
Yeah, I mean, didn't Brian Robinson?
Yes, last season, I think.
Like, shot through the leg or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy that this happens. And, like, look, I don't think, I know people in the chat, like, believe that Pearsall, like Tyler Jennings, that Pearsall could make a huge impact this season. I don't think Ricky Pearsall is going to make a huge impact this season. Just because, like, look, they can't even figure out how to get Juwan Jennings catches when, you know, through the first 3 weeks of the season, he's leading the NFL in receiving yards. All of a sudden, it's really tough to find spots for him. You got to pick and choose, and, like, they have so many weapons. So I have a tough time believing he's going to be a huge player this year. But the fact that he's he's making a return and that he survived a gunshot wound to the chest and that, you know, like there's a potential for him to still have a career after this is pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's and it's not it has nothing to do with whether Ricky Pearsall is good at football or not.
Not at all. Yeah.
It's just we know how difficult this offense is historically for rookie wide receivers and he has already missed so much time.
Oh yeah, totally.
And during the week he's back in practice and he's getting to do individual drills and stuff, but you're not getting a ton of reps and they're not going to stop practice to make sure that you know what you're doing. And that's not a knock on him. It's just like, hey, you haven't been around.
Hey, I've said the same exact thing about Devin Carter. Like Devin Carter thinks yes. He's just going to step on the floor in January when he gets cleared, he's going to go to the G League, play a couple of games and he'll be up with the team ready to roll. It's like, man, like there's a big difference between Trey Lyles missing 3 weeks or Kevin Herter missing 6 months and then being able to step right back onto the court.
Somebody who's been there and been around.
They know the drill. They know what the plan is. They know what's happening. Like there's a big difference between that and a rookie. And Pearsall's a rookie. There's no way he's missed so much time already. And part of it was, you know, the gunshot wound. Another part was all the other injuries.
Yeah, two separate injuries.
Yeah, it's just really, really difficult to see how he can make it. But, hey, maybe I'm wrong. I've been proven wrong before on these things. Like,
sure. Maybe he picks it up super fast and they plug him into the offense right away. But we're already seeing that Jacob Cowing's having such a difficult time just cracking the rotation, like figuring out a way to get on the field a little, even when wide receivers are hurt. So it's if Juwan Jennings and Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk are all healthy, there's just not going to be, they don't run a ton of like four receivers sets.
No.
I really don't.
Especially once they get McCaffrey back.
Like, yeah, this year I don't see a path for Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
I saw Russ Dog say they should redshirt him this year. Russ Dog in the chatty house, like that wouldn't surprise me at all. If they go through these practices and go, man, you know what? He's just not going to get up to speed this year. We're not going to waste a roster spot. We're gonna just put him on IR for the year.
Yeah.
That wouldn't shock me, but they opened his window now for a reason. They think he can contribute in some way. And maybe it is the return game. Maybe they've watched Jacob Cowing and they go, okay, he's fine, but we think Ricky Pearsall could be better there. Okay. Then maybe it's that. I just don't, as far as offense goes, I don't think he's going to have an impact this year.
Yeah, I would agree. I think
I will be watching him closely.
Yeah, I think so too. I would say the one thing about this is it is such a feel-good story that maybe you do bring him back and you do give him an opportunity to step on the field and you have this momentum for next season. And, you know, again, a guy who survives a gun. It's such a good story.
Yes.
And the team seems to be rallying around him a lot right now. So maybe it is something that you do and you know, whether he's going to be super productive or not, you do use a roster spot on him just because.
Yeah, no doubt. So that's where Ricky Pearsall is. Hopefully he gets to play and gets on the field and is productive. That would be great. Definitely rooting for him. The other 49ers thing I wanted to get to this yesterday and we just got sidetracked, but I think we talked about this a little bit last week, was their offensive identity or their lack of it. Like, what are they doing? What is this version of the offense where they're turning Brock Purdy into a drop back passer? And it's been okay pushing the ball downfield a ton. Pro Football Focus has a stat called turnover worthy plays, and his turnover worthy play rate is down to like 1.8% after being at 3.2 last year. It's one of the lowest in the league. Despite pushing the ball down the field more, it's been impressive, but it's not what their identity is. And it's really clear they have this awesome running back. They could potentially be getting Christian McCaffrey back. They're going to be a run-based football team. And that's what it's always been under Kyle Shanahan, right? It's been run the football, run play action, get linebackers moving the wrong way, clear out the middle of the field, and let the quarterback work. Well, this year they had gone away from play action a ton. They went from like 26% in 2022, 23% in 23, and then it was down to like 17.6% this year. It's one of the lowest play action rates in the league. And the reason you do play action is it's very simple. You fake the handoff to get linebackers moving forward or to get safeties moving forward.
Yep.
And what Brock Purdy, and he's I'm not going to read all the numbers, but he's much better in play action than not. He's been good without it, but he's elite in play action. A lot of quarterbacks are better there because if you're trying to throw it into the middle of the field and a linebacker who was in the middle of the field is all of a sudden standing at the line of scrimmage because he thinks there's a running play coming, mm-hmm. the middle of the field's now open. It is that simple.
Yep. You also get the shift. Like what you do, you run to the left, you roll out to the right.
Yep.
So everyone's shifting to the left and now it opens up the right side of the field.
Yep.
So you're hoping that you get some advantage there.
Mm-hmm. Creating open throws, throwing lanes.
It does seem strange that they haven't done this a lot with Brock this year.
Yeah, very odd. But against the Seahawks, the 49ers had their highest offensive output of the year in points, in yards. Mm-hmm. They ran it for 228 yards. And what do you know? They're in play action 29% of the time against the Seahawks.
Oh.
And I think what we're seeing with them is they're trying to find the happy medium between, hey, this defense is not it. This defense is not going to be a top 10, top 12 unit this year. So how do we win shootouts? I think that's what they're trying to figure out right now.
Yeah.
And you initially think about that and you go, you win shootouts by dropping back and throwing it. But I think what we're seeing with the 49ers, and I think what we saw against Seattle, and I think what we're going to kind of continue to see, is finding this happy medium between, hey, when they get behind their run game and they're running play action, it, A, makes passing the ball a lot easier, but B, it starts to open up things in the run game because now you're not getting linebackers and safeties committing to the run in the same way.
Yeah.
Now they're going to think about it. And in the NFL, that's so much. I had a friend that played for Chip Kelly in college. And he talked about how, in Philly. And he talked about how the offensive philosophy there was you want to get the person to make one wrong step. Mm. That's all you're trying to do with your misdirection. Because one wrong step is the difference between a gain of 3 and a gain of 10.
Okay.
Because that linebacker is now, instead of being in that gap, they're a step late. And now you're able to run through that tackle. Or make a miss entirely. So that's where you start running play action. Now you got people thinking. When you're not running play action a ton, those linebackers don't have to think the same way. The safeties don't have to think the same way. They can just commit and play full speed football. And I think what you saw against the Seahawks was you had Kyle Shanahan putting that defense in a little bit of a blender by running a ton of play action. It's so simple. It's so easy. And I don't know why they weren't doing it more to this point.
Yeah, I almost wonder if Shanahan is building Brock Purdy as like his quarterback mind in a specific way.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not trying to teach him how to do different things, other not to just rely on the rollout,
mm-hmm.
On the play action.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's trying to make him a more complete quarterback by throwing all of these different looks in. So when they do get to a certain point in the season where you might need him to be a pocket passer for two games mm-hmm. against some sort of specific defense or something, that you have more. I think a lot of developing a young quarterback is this. It's mm-hmm. not just what you can do in practice. It's what you can, live simulate in a game and mm-hmm. like give them like an understanding of what's happening, make them better at reading the field, mm-hmm. read the field in a different way from, different positions on the field. So it's possible that it's just part of a larger game that he's trying to add to Brock Purdy's bag.
Maybe.
And that you lost a couple of games that you shouldn't have lost, for sure. But again, I don't know that any of those were really on Brock Purdy. There certainly, you could say Brock Purdy didn't go win those games.
Yeah.
But were they on Brock that you lost the game?
Sure.
And I think that at the end of the day, we all know that the bigger issue is that the Niners can't get people off the field on third down.
I would agree.
So there's a much bigger issue there. And so you're trying to grow a young player who's a centerpiece. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a huge part of what you're doing. And you have to know what he can and can't do on the field.
Yeah.
And you can't just say, hey, we're just going to roll out all the time, because it does, like, that does limit you.
Mm-hmm.
It limits you to, like, everything
that's
in front of
you. Eliminating half of the field.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's tinkering and growing his quarterback in a different way.
Sure. Mitch in New Jersey, it's time for everybody's favorite radio segment, is on the Elk Grove Kid Talk Line. Mitch, what's up, man?
What's happening, guys? Nice to talk to you.
You too. What's up, buddy?
Looks like the 49ers found themselves another running back.
Yeah.
Isaac Renato. If I pronounced that name correctly, it won't be the first time.
Okay, we know what you mean, Mitch. Isaac Garendo is who you're looking for.
Isaac Garendo?
Yeah, okay. Nailed it.
Well, he looks like, they find quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. And I'm hoping Ricky Purcell can start, get some playing time and just be more powerful offense because kind of what we're lacking now. And with the Lions losing a big key guy in the defensive line, that was a freak injury. He looked like he was going to have a great – he looks like he's got a great career ahead of him. I would put that the 49ers are a favorite to get to the Super Bowl, probably play the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh.
All right.
I'm a little ahead of myself, right?
Maybe a little bit, but it's all good, Mitch. I love it. Okay. Appreciate the call, buddy.
Thanks.
Yep. We'll talk about that a little bit later. I want to talk about the top five teams in the NFL because I genuinely, right now, if you tried to pick like a Super Bowl favorite, I don't know that I have one.
No.
But we can get to it. I want to dig into that a little later. Yeah, Isaac Garendo was good the other night. He finally hit that run that we've been kind of waiting for him to hit because it was outside zone. It's there. Oh, nope. Falls down immediately 4 yards. And that's nice if you can just plug away in 3, 4, 5 yards here. But at some point, you have to hit that home run, and he finally did.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, too, it's one of those things where once you get that big run one time in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
now he's going to be craving and looking for that.
Yeah, you just kind of see it different.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. before he was, fighting it a little, not being patient enough, again, just rushing things, running into the back of his offensive lineman a couple of times. Once you get the pace, once you get the speed of what's happening and you calm down,
mm-hmm.
I think it really does help a young running back. And then once he gets the big play, now it's like, okay, I did it once. I can do it at this level. Like, where's it at again?
Yeah.
Because that guy's probably like in his football playing career, whether it's high school or college,
mm-hmm.
he's probably had, 50 runs over 50 yards. Like, that's the type of speed he has. And you're just waiting to see that you can do it.
Sure.
At the pro level. And if you can, now it's like, okay, how do I do it again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely an adjustment, adjusting to the speed, adjusting to, like you said, just the pace and having the patience to know that, okay, that's going to open up. I got to let my blockers get set up. You're not just going to outrun everybody. So hopefully you start seeing more from Isaac Garendo. I want to have a larger conversation about the 49ers running back room. But we can push that. What's funny?
The Chatty House is killing me. Chatty House. You're just killing me, Chatty House. Chris Juvenile, you're killing me. That's just, yeah. You're killing me, Smalls.
916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. That is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Hey, we got some tickets to give away to the Golden Sky Beer and Country Music Festival. That's this week. Starts this Friday.
This Friday.
We're giving away tickets to it.
I've heard there's exciting people there, Kyle.
Boy, there sure are. We'll tell you who they are coming up. But we're giving away those tickets. We got some more King stuff to get to. We got MLB playoffs and some more NBA news and notes to get to as well. Plenty coming up in the second hour. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. What?
No, nothing.
What?
You watch the clock. I don't see the clock. Just go.
Okay, we're going to give away these tickets next, and we'll have plenty more coming up in the second hour. He's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen, we're the Insiders, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Theater.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon. Then we will hand it off to D'Lo and Casey, and they will take you up to 4 o'clock. I want to remind everybody, starting on Friday, from what I understand, doors open at 11 a.m.
Oh?
At the Golden Sky Beer and Country Music Festival. You don't have to go to Nashville. Nashville is coming here. On Friday, it's L. King. The headliner on Friday, Keith Urban.
Oh.
Sunday, Shaboozy. Shaboozy is going to be here at the Golden Sky Beer and Country Music Festival. And then Luke Bryan is going to be the headliner on Sunday. Plus, there's beer. It would be insane to call it a beer and country music festival and not have beer. So I think it's not going to be like, oh, hey, there's a little bit of beer over there. My guess is there's going to be a lot of beer.
It's not like...
a lot of beer.
Like Coors Light, like banquet beer. I feel like there's going to be...
There might be. In that setting, all beer is good beer for me.
All right.
All beer is good beer. Here's how you can win a three-day pass. This is fun. I'm really excited for this.
Okay.
You can enter as many times as you want, by the way. I wasn't told yes or no on that, so I'm just doing it.
Just say it.
And we'll deal with the consequences later.
That's right.
You download the free Odyssey app on your phone. That's step one. Super easy. You're going to go favorite ESPN 1320. You just search ESPN 1320. We'll pop up. You favorite that. Then when you open the app, our station starts playing. It's great. Next to the little listen live button, there's a microphone icon. And if you have the app, and you might need to update it if you don't see this, but you see a microphone icon. If you tap that icon, you'll be able to leave us a message.
Wow.
Telling us that you want to go to the Golden Sky Beer and Country Music Festival. You don't even have to say anything elaborate. We're not going to be using these on air.
Nope.
You don't have to be like, hey, I want to go. You just be like, man, I like beer, or I like country music, or I like both of those things. I would like to go to this. Give us your name, your phone number, your email address, and... message number 27 will receive a three-day pass to the Golden Sky Beer and Country Music Festival. If you need to review the instructions, go to ESPN1320.com. Good luck.
We're giving away a pair of passes.
Three-day pass.
On Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Yes.
All right. I'm in.
And tomorrow. We're giving away, no, I'm sorry, and Friday.
Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We're giving away some on Friday?
Yeah, but first thing Friday, because the thing starts on Friday.
Yeah.
So off the rip Friday, we're going to remind people, hey, go enter. Because message number 27.
All right.
It's going to get a three-day pass to the Golden Sky Beer and Country Music Festival. I'll be out there one of the days.
Are you?
Yes. Helping out promotions.
Have you figured out what day you want to go out there?
It's going to depend on what promotions needs from me.
Okay.
I would like to go
like Keith Urban Day, just in case Nicole Kidman shows up. Just sure, saying.
Sure.
So then it's totally. Like, hey, it's Nicole Kidman.
What would you say to Nicole Kidman if you saw Nicole Kidman?
Oh,
you're hanging out, you're backstage, you're vibing, and Nicole Kidman's standing there.
I don't know. We'd probably talk about being redheads. I don't know. I don't know.
Hey, you got red hair, I have red hair. What if it's a
thing? I can talk to anybody, Kyle. I don't know what you're talking about.
I just need to know, like, I've been in a couple of situations where I've seen, like, celebrities or athletes out, and I don't approach them because it's like, I don't know what to say. I don't have an opening line here.
Okay.
I don't have a good, hey, when I first moved to Arizona, Sergio Romo was at Sam's Club when I was going into Sam's Club.
Okay.
I have nothing to say to Sergio Romo. Nice guy from everything I know.
Yeah.
Great guy. From everything I've ever heard about him, everybody I know who knows him loves him. But when am I going to walk up? Hey, I don't like the team you play for. Every time you pitch, I hope a slider gets launched into orbit. I just had nothing. So you just walk by, give him a little nod, and it was Jennifer Lawrence, for example. Jennifer Lawrence. If I ever happen to run into Jennifer Lawrence, her and I born the exact same day, 8/15/90.
See?
I have the. I'm like, hey, guess what? We're birthday twins. Bang, bang.
There
that's
it is.
That's the way I'm going to not be like, oh my God, huge fan.
Yeah, I don't think I would like.
Even though I'm not a huge Jennifer Lawrence fan, she's fine.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen. Because to me, a huge fan is like, I'm going to see everything they're in.
Okay.
I've not even seen like Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So.
That's a.
It's I watched the heck out of the Hunger Games, though.
It's a tough watch, but it's. Yeah.
Sure.
It's, you know, mental illness and. Yeah. Loss.
So Nicole Kidman, your opening line would be like, hey, redhead. Same, same, same.
It's something like that.
Love that.
Maybe not. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Maybe I would say nothing, but I don't know.
You would say, I know you. You would say something.
Loved you in Far and Away.
There you go. That's great. Loved you in Far and Away. By the way, we have red hair. See you at the meeting. Kings Jazz tonight as the Kings continue their preseason. This sounds silly. And when I started writing it, I rephrased it. Because you don't need to bounce back in the preseason. There's no, you could get beat 200-0 and it has no impact on what you're doing in the regular season. But at the same time, I would like to see a different level of, not urgency, but can you just play without the general malaise that they played with on Sunday?
Yeah, I think that there does come a point where you have to show that you're good, that that you like. It can't just be, hey, look, do you see us in the first half? Like, we're solid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you led by two. You gave up 15 threes. Like, that's, we need to see more. We need to see more of a complete performance. I'd also say, like, Mike Brown, and this is something we talked about, me and Sean talked about on the podcast on Saturday. We forgot, like, and I forgot last year, too. Mike Brown really does play his players in preseason. So I expect like 30 plus minutes from starters tonight. Like if this game is close at all, he wants to finish, have his players finish the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So like this is go time. I want to see how they start to move together as a team, whether they can sustain something, mm-hmm. whether they can play for, you know, of the 35 minutes or whatever
that they're
going to be on the court, like 30 plus, that the starters and that first unit that plays, the second unit that plays with the starters, like they look functional and they look smooth and they look like they can rotate on defense and have an identity. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think that like it's panic if they lose, but if they play really poorly again, you're looking around like, what exactly is going on here?
The vibe,
and how do you fix it?
The vibe would be weird.
Uh-huh.
If there's almost nothing that can happen in these games that is going to take me off what I think they're going to be in the regular season.
Outside of injury.
Right. Yeah, nothing non-injury related. But if they come out again against Utah and just look kind of sluggish and uninterested, I'm going to have some questions.
Yeah.
I think that's fair, but I don't... But again, I'm not expecting that. I think the Portland thing was just it's the third preseason game. We just kind of want to get to the end here. You just didn't play well, and now you regroup and you go play a little better here against Utah, and you're fine. But
yeah, I mean, I think this would just calm everybody down. Like, okay, we know who you are, and then you don't worry about who's playing how many minutes in game four, because that's always like weird anyways, right? Game five of preseason. I think game five is where you do start running some guys out there, some younger guys out there, and you give your starters again like a good start, and then like hand it off and see what you got.
And do you expect him to play an entire game tonight and treat this like a dress rehearsal?
Yeah, I expect the starters to play like substantial minutes. I'm not saying like 35 minutes a game, 35 minutes for the starters, but I do think like last game they all played what we looked up 26, 27.
I think that 33 starters played 30 and two played 28.
Oh, so he is ramping up. So maybe they do play 32 minutes, maybe 32, 33 minutes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that the intent was to have them close out the game. That would have put them way higher as far as minutes played.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is kind of how Mike likes to build up his team, and that's fine for me.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That is the Elk Grove Kia talk line if you'd like to chime in. What are you looking for from the Sacramento Kings tonight? Don, you're on the Insiders with James and Kyle. What's up?
Hey, how you fellas doing? Have either of you started or finished Starting Five on Netflix yet?
No, not yet. I have not.
Okay.
Honestly,
okay. I'm not.
Have you watched it?
I just finished it this morning. I loved it. It was good to see Sabonis just be himself and not nervous.
Okay.
I was terrified he was going to be like, you know, maybe not to be rude, but the most boring out of the cast of five. But mm-hmm. I think Tatum kind of ran away with that, in my opinion.
That tracks.
Not to throw shade. And I would love to see an interview with Mrs. Sabonis on the Stomp Heard Round the World, because she was holding back a lot when they asked her about it. That's all I got.
Awesome. Thanks, Don. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's it. So, I've just been kind of busy. Football stuff keeps me pretty occupied during the week. I don't get to watch a ton of TV, but I read Katie Baker in The Ringer. I read her kind of takeaways from it. And that's what she said. She said Sabonis' wife was the big winner.
That's spectacular. like, look, I haven't watched, I've watched parts of it. But I haven't sat down and watched an episode from start to finish. I'm really excited for Sabonis and how, like, it does sound like he was able to, like, win the day a little bit with that. And, like, look, this is a player who deserves way more national attention than he gets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his numbers are some of the best numbers for a center we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, if he lived in an era where there wasn't Nikola Jokic, like, he would be considered, like, the best center in the game. Just look at what he's doing. Leading the league in rebounding, over 8 assists a game, almost 20 points per game. I mean, like, the fact that he didn't make an all-star team is just such a shame. And I'm hoping that him, like, opening the doors to his life,
mm-hmm.
like, gives people a different perspective on him and maybe allows him to get the credit that he deserves nationally.
Sure. We have a trade in the NFL.
We do.
Shout out to, why did that not, did that go? Are you hearing that?
No.
Where are my buttons?
Your buttons are broke?
What in the world?
Oh no.
This is frustrating. That's okay. We have a trade in the NFL. The Cleveland Browns are dealing wide receiver Amari Cooper to the Buffalo Bills. In exchange, this is weird. It's a third round pick swap or a pick swap and a third rounder?
Oh, sending a third round and a pick swap.
I can't imagine that the Bills are getting Amari Cooper and a third for a third. There's just no way that's the case.
Yeah, we're going to have to wait till this thing settles.
Yeah, it's got to be like a pick swap and a third. So we're just talking about Josh Allen and the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be helpful. That's going to be...
Yeah.
He's a good player.
I think Josh Allen has been waiting for them to do something because mm-hmm. it's just really tough when you're a player like him, like if you don't have a go-to guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
it
wasn't just one guy that they mm-hmm. let go, you know, Davis and what am I drawing?
Stephon Diggs
gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just tough if you're a quarterback. I mean, again, we're watching it with Mahomes. He was able to create Rashee Rice last mm-hmm. year on the fly, very specific style of wide receiver. But then when he's hurt this year, now Mahomes is just lost again. And you're having to rely on guys like Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yep.
And, you know, you're having to rely on guys that aren't always reliable. And so I feel like Josh Allen's waiting for something like this. And as soon as the Devontae Adams trade happened, it's kind of like, okay, who else is going? Like, we're going to look around the league. Like, it's time for bad teams
yeah.
to start purging. And,
yep.
and this is one of the big ones.
Yeah, and I think that Amari Cooper can be a close enough facsimile of Stephon Diggs that you could really see that Bills offense. It's just missing. You can you need to have several playmakers, right? You've talked about that a lot with the 49ers. It can't be over-reliance on one guy or two guys. You got to make sure you're spreading the football around. And that's fine the way they've been doing it, but you also just need a guy who you know is going to get open.
Oh, yeah.
Who you know, all right, third and short, I can throw it to this guy. Mm-hmm. And Amari Cooper is a little past his prime, but still a really good player. He wasn't going to do the Browns any good. This is a nice move for the Bills.
No, I totally agree. Right. This is a move they had to make.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so if anything else breaks in the NFL, we will have that for you. I'm really frustrated that my buttons are broken here.
Oh. We had issues yesterday with that board.
Yeah, I know. And I'm not going to reset it, obviously, during the show. But,
nope.
Actually, I might hit the break. Anyways, doesn't matter. Kings Jazz, as we bring this back to Sacramento here. Can we read into, because if it's going to be ostensibly a dress rehearsal with the starters playing 34, 35 minutes, can we read into the rotations then, do you think? If it's Isaiah Crawford getting burned with the second unit again, or Isaac Jones getting a little run with the starters, is that something we can read into, is this still just a function of preseason?
No, I'm going to say yes and no.
Perfect.
Yes, this is like we'll see like a break in case of emergency situation for the team, but no, because Kevin Herter is back at practice. Kevin Herter has been cleared for all contact. He's already gone through 1v1. Mm-hmm. I think yesterday he went through 2v2 or 3v3. He's already moving towards being ready. If not, there's a possibility he plays on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a possibility that he doesn't play until, you know, that he's not fully part of practice until Friday or Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But they have another week. So, like, Kevin Herter's going to be part of the rotation when the season opens. And, like, the same thing with Trey Lyles. Trey Lyles is going to be cleared here. Like, we don't know where he's at. He's being reevaluated, what they say, 3 weeks, but it was from, like, November 27th or something.
Mm-hmm.
So we're right nearing the 3 week mark. I think Friday is 3 weeks, and it's possible that Trey Lyles is back. So, for right now, is there a possibility that Isaac Jones or, Isaiah Crawford play in the opener? Sure. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know what these other guys are going to look like and if they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
But once everyone's ready, I think we can kind of see the 9-man rotation. Right now, with the 9.5-man rotation, with you know, again, Trey, Kevin, and Malik being the primary, you know, three guys that you're going to rely on off the bench, at least for right now, until they decide what's happening with that shooting guard spot. And then it's going to be Jordan McLaughlin, who I thought looked really good on Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Alex Len, who, to be honest with you, Alex Len has looked really good in preseason too.
Yeah.
Like, you can't read all that much into it, but I mean, Alex Len basically put up double-doubles in the first two games and just solidified his spot as like the backup center with no question. There's not really any competition, but I do think that we're going to see, that's 10 guys right there. We just talked about like basically 10 guys with the starters. And so Mike's not going to go a lot deeper than that, which is maybe part of the reason why they sent Jalen McDaniels packing, because they're like, look, not only do we see our 10 guys, but then we kind of want to see what these other two guys have that are fighting for a position, or maybe even throw Mason Jones in there, this group of three players, and see if they can make a difference as well, or at least mask the 8 minutes a game or 12 minutes a game you might have needed for Jalen McDaniels for $5 million a year.
One of the guys that could be coming back is Kevin Herter, who spoke with reporters yesterday at practice. First of all, confirmed the headband's gone.
Headband is...
Which is big time.
Yeah, this headband Herter is over.
This is the best thing that's ever happened to him.
Yeah.
I've never been more confident that a player is going to have a big year than I am in Kevin Herter this year. Losing the headband is going to be great.
I think it's interesting.
So great for him.
His answer for why he's getting rid of the headband is because he said, I had like a traumatic experience on the court while wearing the headband, and I just kind of want to like go away from everything that happened that day and start fresh. And he was rattled. You could watching the clip. I didn't make it to practice yesterday because practice was scheduled for 12:15, and it started. They let guys in. I couldn't make it after the show down there. But like watching the video from Sean over at Fox 40, like good stuff there by Kevin. I mean, I think he's been really a lot more open and honest and transparent, which is good. Like when you have a player who's sort of struggled with the mental aspect of the game, I think being open and transparent about who you are and what's happening and you know, how, you know, even something as small as a headband and wanting to wash away everything from the one of the worst nights of your life as a basketball player, but that's a good thing. It's like, I like the honesty.
Yeah, me too. Do we have an ETA yet on when he's coming back? Has there been any kind of update on that?
I mean, he's, Mike Brown seemed to have no idea that Kevin was fully cleared.
Perfect.
He did, like, so it sounds like Kevin got cleared on Friday, was already on the court Friday night doing some, doing, you know, his standard warm up. On Saturday, he was able to go through at least with coaching staff or a group of young players, at least like 1v1. He did actually have contact, which was, which he had not.
That's new.
He had not had any contact at all for 7 months, he said.
Wow.
So he said that was really interesting to, like, take a hit. He said that the right shoulder, you know, feels normal. The left shoulder, he's like, it just doesn't feel the same as the right. So he's like, I'm going to have to learn how to deal with it. He's like, I had major surgery on it. So, like, I've got to figure out, like, how it functions and with what I'm doing. But at the same time, you know, he's 7 months in. So this is, again, just that's the difference with Devin Carter, too. Track Kevin Herter's, you know, return to play, and it's going to be similar. It takes a long time. This is a major, major injury that you can't rush because you can do damage and re-tear and never have your shoulder be right again. And so, I think he's close.
I do wonder, though, if there has to be what's the word I'm looking for? Like a return to play timeline that gets extended because of that mental hurdle still.
Yeah, I mean,
he took contact for the first time yesterday, but does he drive it in the lane the same way? Is he as aggressive? Does he alter his shot on closeouts now? Does it, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if that's something that is really in the back of his head, which would totally make sense, is that going to add days to his timeline to return here? He's cleared, he's all good, but man, you know what? He's just not quite right yet.
You know, that's kind of one of the things he talked about early on was like going up for a rebound.
Yeah.
It's like, that's sort of the scare. You go up for a rebound, somebody hits you the wrong way, and can it knock the shoulder out of the socket? Now, because he's had the surgery, that shouldn't be an issue. But I think that's where people need to understand. Like, Kevin Herter has been working out tirelessly for months. Mm-hmm. He has. Like, you can look at Kevin Herter and know that he's in phenomenal shape. There is no question that, you know, we heard, a month and a half ago that he was shooting with Domas. Mm-hmm. Maybe 2 months ago now, he was shooting. And, like, they said, oh, yeah, he looks really good. So, like, let's not act like he's not actually trying to get back on the court, that he's just sitting there like in a sling the whole time hoping that it just magically heals itself. But also on top of that, you have to understand that when we hear no contact, that means that he is not running out and defending. He has not defended anybody for months. Like, there's no contact. Like, running up and knowing how to close out on these things, going through a screen, like, these are things he is going to have to get comfortable doing again. And, you know, maybe it happens very quickly. Maybe the instincts just kick in and he's going.
Sure.
But, you know, I think he'll probably get in like 3v3 was probably yesterday, and probably 5v5 is probably tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I don't think he'll be 100% cleared to go on Thursday. But you could see where he'll have a week after that game on Thursday to get used to the guys, to get back on the court, to play 5-on-5 and sort of build himself back up, build his wind, make sure that he's ready to play basketball.
Yeah. A lot of steps still.
Yeah. And there's a possibility he plays in the opener. There's also a possibility he doesn't play for a week or two, you know, that he is building back up and, like, this is part of the process.
9 days until the opener. I knew it was, it didn't register that until you said next Thursday.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's coming up.
It's the 24th. Today's the 15th. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy how fast this goes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to dive into one more thing, but we got to go.
Okay.
I'm being a responsible radio host.
Okay.
You're welcome, everybody. I know you all care very much. All right, we'll have some NBA news and notes coming up. We'll talk about the top five teams in the NFL as well. And I have something that's stuck in my craw that I need to get off my chest regarding NFL draft takes. We'll do that as well. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, my buttons work. Well, at least one side does.
They're back?
Yeah, this side. Sort of. So I have... I'm not going to pull the curtain back that far. Nobody needs to know. My buttons work now. We're good. He's James, I'm Kyle. The handoff with one of D'Lo or KC coming up in about 10 minutes. I'm going to put a pin in the top five NFL teams until they're in here.
Okay,
and we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it then. Quick thing on the MLB postseason before we get into NBA news and notes. Mark Vientos lived my dream last night for the Mets. If you missed it, Francisco Lindor hits a homer in the first inning against the Dodgers to put the Mets up 1-0. He came up again in a 2-0. Game in the second inning with runners on second and third and two outs, and the Dodgers elect to walk Francisco Lindor to load the bases for Mark Vientos, and then he proceeds to step to the plate and hit a grand slam. And as a petty person, as a person who thrives on petty, the home run and in this case grand slam after a player was walked to get to you, because they said, we like our chances to get that guy out. It fuels me. Incredible moment for Mark Vientos and the Mets. They held on to beat the Dodgers 7-3 last night. That series is tied at 1 going back to Citi Field in New York. The Yankees, in game 1 of their series against the Guardians, won that one 5-2. Game 2 is tonight right here on ESPN 1320. Coverage begins at 4 o'clock. Again, that's game 2 of the ALCS between the Yankees and Guardians. What's your ideal World Series matchup? What's the matchup that has you, James Hamm, like, that is the most interesting one to me?
I don't know. I mean, I hate saying Yankees-Dodgers because it's just like the Clash of the Titans, and it's like all the money. I'm kind of pulling for the opposite. I would like to see Mets.
Guardians, Mets.
And Guardians.
So here's, I know I said the opposite the other day, but just watching throughout the postseason here, I think it's just kind of clear that the Yankees and Dodgers, just top to bottom, are the two best teams.
Yeah.
And that's annoying for sure. But just because they've both been around. Like, we hear about the Yankees and Dodgers every year, right? You'd love to see the Mets and the Guardians. And I'm with you. I'm going to be tapped in either way. But I think we might get it. We could get an all-time series if we get Yankees-Dodgers. Oh, and just with the way this season has gone, Aaron Judge had his historically great year. and Shohei Ohtani had his. And it'd be, I know fans of smaller market teams or fans who, you know, Giants fans and Red Sox fans and whoever would really hate that matchup a lot. But from a just wanting to see the very, very best, I think that's the kind of ideal matchup. On the other hand, the Mets are a ton of fun.
Yeah, and the Guardians, good story.
Guardians not came out of nowhere, but the Guardians are not a team in the American League that you know, when you're talking about American League powerhouses over the last few years, the Guardians are not a team that comes up. I wouldn't hate the alternative, but I feel like, man, it just the thing I don't love is, as a person who like revels in watching the Yankees lose,
mm-hmm.
I just don't see it.
But I also don't want to see them lose to the Dodgers either. Like, that's a problem. Like, I don't want to see either team win. I think the best World Series, like, for the sport is probably Yankees-Dodgers. I think the best World Series in my mind is two teams that you didn't expect to be there that, you know, they've got good payrolls and all that stuff, like, but that you didn't expect to have this kind of moment go and battle it out. Again, like, the sport versus... Like, I don't, again, if it's Yankees-Dodgers, I'll probably watch, but I will have no rooting interest at all, except for the fact that I want both of them to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not possible for both of them to lose. So somebody will have to win.
Who would you root for in Yankees-Dodgers?
I would root for nobody. I would root for everyone to lose every single game. And that's where, like, again, I've talked about this so many times. I think... Again, Cleveland and the Mets, when you're looking at those two teams,
mm-hmm.
they have a bunch of random dudes, and those are usually the guys who perform and show up. So we want to, like, watch Yankees-Dodgers and, like, the placard, all of this stuff we're going to see on TV. Mm-hmm. Like, every screen is going to be Aaron Judge versus Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
And both of those guys could be totally lame and horrible in the entire World Series, and it's not. The drama isn't there between those two, and that's. I think that I would prefer the unexpected, mm-hmm. which would be Mets and Commanders.
Who would you root for in that scenario? Mets, Guardians.
Guardians. I'm gonna go Guardians because I love Stephen Vogt. So
there you go.
Yeah,
would love that for him. First year as a manager?
Yeah.
Let's go win a World Series? All right.
Yeah, let's do this.
I think I rock with that.
Yeah.
Some NBA news and notes here as we finish up the insiders and get ready to hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Kawhi Leonard's out for the rest of the preseason. Can you believe it?
I can't believe this is happening again. Oh, my gosh.
I feel bad for the guy. But every time that Kawhi Leonard injury news comes down, it's like, well, All right. And this is what, like, I already was out on the Clippers this year. I think they were the number 4 seed last year.
Yeah.
I was already out on the Kawhi James Harden pairing. And Norman Powell out there, like, yeah, it's Norman Powell time. All right, man. Kawhi played how many games last year? 68?
He played way more than we thought. Like, it might have even been in the 70s.
It was the most games he'd played in a long time.
It's probably the most he's played in a decade.
So he played in 68 games. It was the most he had played since 2016-17. His last year, second to last year with the Spurs.
Yeah.
So it was De'Aaron Fox's rookie year, right?
17-18 is De'Aaron Fox's rookie year.
The last time he played more games than he did last year was before De'Aaron Fox was in the NBA.
Yeah, and he's entering his 8th season.
Crazy.
I mean, that's wild.
That's the Clippers with, if you told me right now, Kawhi Leonard is going to be healthy all year, he's going to play 78 games,
mm-hmm.
then, okay, maybe you can talk me into the Clippers a little bit, because when Kawhi Leonard does play, and he's on the court for an extended period of time, he was second team All-NBA last year.
Yeah.
He had 24 points, 6 boards, 4 assists, 1.6 steals, almost a block a game. He's an efficient player, 41.7% from threes, 52.5% from the field. Like, Kawhi is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not... You banking on 68-plus games again?
No.
I'm not.
No.
I'm definitely not.
Well, not only that, but, I mean, they lost Paul George, and Paul George is, like...
Also hyperextended his knee yesterday.
Yeah. That's not good for Paul George, but we're talking about another guy who's like an all NBA level player, you know, a certified all-star and a guy who, you know, like you lose him, your team is not going to be as good. And for as much grief as I give Russell Westbrook, the fact that he's not there anymore, like, and you didn't really replace, I mean, if you're going to go out there and you're going to replace a guy like Paul George and you're going to bring in Derek Jones Jr., like, I don't know what to say because the rest of this team, I mean, they did some really, really odd things this offseason. They went out and got Kevin Porter Jr.
To, like, play him.
Yeah. They got him. They got Josh Primo. So
Dog, what?
Not only that, I'm not over. Like, they got Kai Jones. So
which one's Kai Jones?
Kai Jones is the guy that the first round pick from Charlotte who, like, went crazy on the team and they waived him in the middle of last season and he sat there and didn't play. I don't know. He barely played at all. God. You know, they brought in Mo Bamba and, you know, so I just look at their team and I'm just not super impressed with what they're doing. Your team, guys like Amir Coffey and guys like Terrence Mann, like, again, I love Terrence Mann, but players like that, Nick Batum, they look a lot different when Paul George is on the court with them.
Yes.
Not like the ghost of James Harden and Kawhi Leonard for 60 games. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. They need like Ivica Zubac to be incredible. They need Norman Powell to be incredible. Or that team's in line to win. Like if Kawhi, let's say Kawhi plays 55 to like 62 games.
Sure.
I think that's a 41 win team.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, if he plays 70-something games, maybe I can see them winning 45, 46, but I don't think they're going to win 50 like they did last year, right?
No.
And 51 games last year.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, and we talked about this. Like, there are going to be teams that lose games this season just because the West is so much stronger. The bottom of the West is coming up, and you're having a bunch of young teams that are getting better. You got Memphis should be better than they have been. You know, Houston will be better. San Antonio will win more than like 20, 21 games, whatever it was. So like those teams are going to get better and those wins are going to come from somewhere.
I know this probably doesn't matter, but it jumped out to me. The Kings played 5 preseason games, right?
Mm-hmm.
2 at home, 3 on the road.
Yeah.
Right. The Clippers are playing 5 preseason games all at home.
Oh, really? Because I thought that Thursday is the opener in the new arena.
Not according to this.
They've been playing, all of their home games have been...
Oh, I'm sorry. The Golden State, because the Golden State game was in Honolulu.
Okay.
And their Portland game was at a neutral location.
Yeah.
But according to this, there was no... Yeah, Front Wave Arena in Oceanside.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the Intuit Dome opens on Thursday.
Huh.
Against the Kings.
Still, the point is, they didn't travel.
Yeah.
Like, Oceanside is not, I'm sorry, that's not traveling.
Mm-mm.
Honolulu's traveling, but they're not at any teams they're not the road team in any of their preseason games.
Wow.
Weird. Last thing. Klay Thompson last night made his debut for the Dallas Mavericks. I believe it was his debut. 0-for-9 from the field, 0-for-6 from three-point range.
Huh.
Hate it for my guy. Really hate it for my guy.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what happens there.
That's a bad beat.
You know, like, you can like some of the moves that they made, but... you know, the fear of Klay Thompson is going to make teams play defense a different way.
No, sorry, he did play. He did play last Thursday and went 3-for-9 from the field and 3-for-5 from three.
Okay,
that's right.
Yeah, that's kind of what you're hoping for.
Yikes! Hey, yeah,
it's Damian Barling.
And you'll take the 3-for-5 from three for sure, but the 3-for-9 from the but they had 0-for-9 and 0-for-6.
Yeah,
that's what I'm worried about, man. That's what I'm worried about with Klay. We'll see. I'm pulling for the guy, but man,
that's gonna be a tough look. I do know that, like, just, you know, talking to Mike Brown and the Kings staff, Like, there is something to just the fear of Clay and how you have to deal with him.
Yeah.
You can't leave him in the corner at all.
Like, for sure.
You have to be a step closer to him than you have be to almost any other shooter in the league playing off ball. And so that little bit of space that he's going to create just as a shooter, especially early in the season. Now, if he's shooting 31% from the field at after 20 games, you're going to see teams start to leave him a little more open, but not that that much open.
He needs to adapt. He needs to adapt his game, and he just hasn't yet. He's still trying to pull up from 30 in transition. Like, dude, that shot's not in your bag anymore, man.
Yeah, you don't have the legs to do that. Yeah.
All right, Damian Barling.
I got to adapt my game, too, so it's understandable.
Do you?
I do.
I think you're doing great for what it's worth.
Yeah?
Yeah. Did you happen to see the thing I commented on Instagram from a show I did filling in for Kenny in 2021?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I said that the Kings and the Supersonics were going to play on Christmas Day 2024.
Oh,
swing and a miss. We tried though.
No, it's a good try. It's
You looked very different. Your hair is very different.
Is it?
Yeah, I was shook.
Oh.
Yeah.
2021.
Yeah, it's much shorter.
A little shorter.
The fade was like a little higher up.
Fade higher. Yeah, probably didn't have the spray to fill in the hairline. So yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah.
I look at some of those old pictures. Like, oh man.
I still think
the
you look
glow up
man.
Is real. the glow up is real. I saw you open a stuffed caterpillar. That's fun stuff.
Yeah, man. Let's go. Shout out to Fun Delivered on 106.5 The End.
It's very good. The stuffed little caterpillar with headphones.
Yeah, its name is Kevin.
I caught that. Yeah, yeah. Very very nice.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Nice little tribute to.
Is
our
that
guy,
on Instagram
Kevin.
Now?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great. I can't wait to
text
share.
Text the word fun to 916-909-1065, and yeah, they have all sorts of cool things that we don't have.
Can
it's true.
When I we can talk about it later. Nobody cares.
facts.
We don't have time. Kawhi Leonard is out for the rest of the preseason. We got to go in like 5 minutes.
Okay.
I was going to do top five teams in the NFL, but I want to push that to tomorrow. I want to make that a deeper discussion.
Okay.
Kawhi Leonard out for the rest of the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Are you as out on the Clippers as James and I are? Is there like a maybe pushing for the back end of the play-in?
Yeah. I think they are. it's hard, like, when you're starting the season wondering what you're going to get from Kawhi. Like, that's tough because I would have, if you told me, like, are you willing to bet on Kawhi and him playing well? Absolutely. Mm. But we're going in now with, like, oh, we don't really know when Kawhi's going to play. Like, and we know how Kawhi Leonard teams are, and I think this is a Kawhi Leonard thing. Like, we know how they are with injuries. Mm-hmm. So Kawhi might not play till Christmas, and he knows that, and they know that, but we don't. And they're going to do this, no, Kawhi Leonard's out for the preseason. Then it'll be Kawhi Leonard's going to miss the first game of the season, then the second game of the season, then the third game of the season. And they're probably never going to say Kawhi Leonard is out for the next 6 weeks.
Right.
That's just not the way that they or he have chosen to do things. So knowing, okay, we're already monitoring this injury. He's already missing time. He's obviously very, very aware of that. Like, it's hard to really put much on them.
Yeah, they just don't.
I like Ty Lue. Yeah, I think Ty Lue's a great coach.
Yep.
I don't think the roster is horrible, but if you don't have someone to, if you have a good roster, and you don't have someone to prop it up,
yes,
it's tough. And I feel like Kawhi is the guy who can still prop it up. I don't think he can do it every other game or, you know, two of the four games a week or whatever.
I'm intrigued to see what Harden looks like. Like, can Harden
always forget he's on the damn Clippers?
Yeah, but like,
that's 6'6" beard.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, does he come out looking like, you know, he spent the offseason eating cheesesteaks, or does he come out looking like he's prepared and ready to play a bunch of games and lead a team? And like, what we've seen from him the last couple of years, he's still effective. But he's not the same player. You don't have the same fear of him.
Yeah.
And there's just like a
lack
of concentration.
But he's still good.
Yeah.
He's a good player,
like,
for sure.
He's still good. And with the ability to, you know, I think Kawhi can be great and the people around him can be great.
Mm-hmm.
Can James Harden have a level of greatness, meaning maybe he wasn't what he was 4 years ago, but he's still a really high-level player, and the people around him be good. That I don't know, because I think he can do a lot of assists and rebounds and points, and it have absolutely no bearing whatsoever on whether the team wins or loses.
Yeah.
People like to get on Russell Westbrook's triple-double years as if they didn't win a large percentage of the games that he did that.
Staring right through me as you say that.
Well, staring through a lot of people who like to get their Russell Westbrook jokes off, but they won games that he had triple-doubles in. Like,
definitely.
James has had a lot of empty calories over his career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, I always forget he's on that freaking basketball team.
He's the system.
It's now him.
I've heard that.
It's him and Kawhi, and for a lot of this season, it's going to be him when Kawhi doesn't play.
And that'll be good for James, but will it be good for the Clippers?
Right. Is it good for Nick Batum and Terrence Mann and Norman Powell?
Exactly.
As I'm not super sure.
Yeah, I just wonder if he still has it.
I'd give Terrence Mann the keys. Say, let's see what this looks like.
To what?
The Clippers.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Let them drive the boat. See how it goes.
Keys to the boat.
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember.
No, it's good. I got it. No, I got it. Thank you. Like, I didn't need it explained. I got it.
James, I'm sorry. We have to go. What do you guys got coming up on D-Lo and Casey?
Well, I've got some things to say about Devontae Adams, the New York Jets, and their stupid-ass quarterback. Trista Crick, Jason Jones. That's great. All I had on a traditional Tuesday.
Can't wait.
And then we'll talk about the game tonight. Of course, Kings in Utah.
Yeah. Can't wait. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. D'Lo and KC coming up next. James and I will be back tomorrow. We'll be sponsored by Jiffy Lube again tomorrow. And until then, drink water. Be nice, people. Boo!
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.